You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Ian, look at this.
Well, it's a police box. What on earth is he doing here? Well, these things are usually on the street. I feel it. You feel it?
Faint vibration.
It's alive.
Earth Station Who, a fun mashup celebrating nearly 50 years of Doctor Who universe. Hold tight. You never know where the TARDIS is going next.
Laugh hard.
Run fast. Be kind. Doctor, I let you go.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Earth Station Who podcast. That's right, folks. We are here to talk about the sixth Doctor era. Yay. We are going to talk all about Time Lash. That's right. You asked for it, folks, and we're giving it to you.
Someone really asked for it?
No.
Yeah.
No.
We're giving it to you, all right.
Oh, yeah. We're giving it to you. This is going to be coming from the bottom of our hearts that we're giving this to you. We sat through two 45-minute episodes just for you guys.
It's coming from the bottom of something, all right.
Oh, exactly. So it's going to be interesting to talk about, and we got a fantastic crew to talk all about it. Of course, you heard her speaking already. We have a guest with us. Let's welcome the mayor of Chickentown herself from the Flopcast. Felicity is here.
Hi, everyone. It's good to be back.
Welcome back to the show. I'm sure you're just so excited for the Sixth Doctor.
Yeah, when you contacted me last week, you're like, I have good news and I have bad news.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Well, we'd like you to be on the show. The bad news is we're reviewing Colin.
And there are honestly Colin stories that I like a lot better than this one, but this was really the bottom of the barrel.
Well, the thing is, we're getting close to have reviewing all of Colin's stories. It was either this or Trial of the Time Lord.
And hey, I already volunteered for that.
You poor soul.
She is a glutton.
Those are the episodes that Felicity is hosting.
Yeah, well then you don't need me.
Those will be all Felicity episodes.
Mm-hmm. All Felicity all the time.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I do love to talk on podcasts, so I'm up for it.
Okay, well, you heard it here. We have recorded evidence of this. And as we've liked to say, the Trial of the Time Lord is going to be the last Earth Station Who story ever.
So as long as you keep pace with the new episodes from the new series, we could put it off a little longer.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course. But you know, the one good thing with Colin, I will admit this, is his Big Finish stories are awesome. Too bad his TV series was not.
Yeah, I haven't delved too much into Big Finish because audio plays are just not really my medium. But one that I really, really liked is The Wrong Doctors, which was kind of a Mel origin story because he didn't formally meet her on the televised series. We see her brought from the future to be at his trial, and then they go off together.
Exactly. Carrot juice. Ugh.
Famous last words.
Exactly. And of course, you can hear our regulars are with us also. Mr. Mike Gordon is here.
Howdy.
How are you, my friend?
I'm okay.
You ready for this one?
Yeah, well, it's, yes. This is, yeah, this was, well, look, last time, last episode we did, I kind of went off on the John Nathan Turner era. So yes, this is, I knew what I was in for. I knew what I signed up for.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Okay. So, and this is perfect for that. And of course, never the ugly, is the lovely Mary Ogle.
Hi, everybody.
Soon to be a world traveler.
Soon to be. It's getting awfully close now.
Exactly. Her TARDIS is almost all packed up. Wouldn't it be great if you could just pack up like that and just go, boom, you're there.
Oh, if only. I have wanted a transporter so much this whole month.
I always fantasized about having a TARDIS that just in the form of a briefcase. So I would just, you know, or a suitcase. Just put it on the floor, open it, step into it, close it behind me.
Awesome.
Yeah, there was a Harry Potter movie like that.
Yeah.
So. I imagined it coming out of the suitcase like the Jetsons car.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Oh, that would be cool. Yeah. And then he carries it right into work with him, saves on parking right there. So that is awesome. So, of course, we want to hear from you guys at home. Please write us at eswpodcast@gmail.com. We definitely want to hear from you guys. Tell us the masterpiece of Time Lash, the saving points,
you know
the
what? Nuances. You know, there are people out there that enjoy Time Lash, I am sure. So I'm hoping by now, well, right now they just said, well, I'm not going to listen to this because I know where they're going. So they probably already stopped, but hear us out. We'll try to be as respectful as we can.
Okay. That's good. Well, speaking of respectful, you could also call us at 404-963-9057. Leave feedback. Tell us what you think. Tell us, are we out of our minds for bashing on this one? That it is actually a great story and there's good points to it. Please, I definitely want to see, you know, why the Time Lash had. Please, please, please tell us. I definitely want to hear that. So let's get started with the show. It is going to be a big one. So one of the reasons Felicity is joining us for this, she actually went out to Gallifrey a couple weeks back.
Yes, this is was my 18th consecutive Gallifrey one, in fact. I can only keep track because I know I started going in 2001, so it's easy to count. And I think this was one of the best.
Wow. Please tell us, you know, what were their highlights? What did you really, you know, get on with it?
So the best, you know, the kind of the biggest stars who were there were Stephen Moffat, David Bradley, and Matt Lucas. Unfortunately, I didn't wind up seeing Matt Lucas in any panels because I had conflicts, but it was great to see Stephen Moffat back. He actually did used to come to the show before he became a showrunner on Doctor Who, so it had been quite a few years since I'd seen him, but I, you know, remembered pretty quickly just how funny he is. He's hilarious.
Oh, he's got a great wit to him, and yeah. I've seen interviews. I've actually never met Stephen in person, and mm-hmm. I would love to someday, but I'm hoping he will, you know, come to Dragon Con sometime.
That would be awesome, and I think that he'll probably come to Gallifrey again in the future. And then David Bradley was just really charming and sweet, and you wouldn't know it from some of the other roles he plays, like a Filch in the Harry Potter films and Walder Frey on Game of Thrones, but he's just very, seemed to be having a great time. He always had a smile on his face, and it's great that you know, he's been able to kind of embody the First Doctor after playing both William Hartnell and the First Doctor in An Adventure in Space and Time back in 2013. Now he's played the First Doctor for real in Twice Upon a Time, and one of the highlights was a live commentary that Stephen Moffat and David Bradley and the director Rachel Talalay did for Twice Upon a Time.
Oh, that is awesome. That must have been great to see.
That was fantastic.
David has a very, you know, big thing because he's actually worked with four doctors.
Yeah.
If you think about it. So
yeah,
pretty darn awesome.
It is awesome. And I think he just seems really happy to be part of the Doctor Who family.
Oh, he's such a nice guy compared to Filch.
Right. And especially compared to Walder Frey.
Oh, well, yeah. We're not even going to talk about
that. You don't want to invite him to any weddings.
No weddings for him. But then again, you know, he also ate his sons in pie, so that's a whole different story.
All right, moving on.
Yes.
I participated in quite a few things this year. Some years I take the con off from panels, but I like to participate in panels when I can. So I actually was assigned to three panels and moderated one of them, which was a retrospective on the Stephen Moffat era. And I think that went really well. I was a little nervous about audience Q&A, but turns out we ran out of time.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So I tried to go, I had five panelists on with me, and I just kind of took on the role of steering the discussion. I didn't want to monopolize the conversation and wanted to give everyone a chance to talk. So we just went season by season of the Moffat era and spent a little time also on the 50th anniversary special day of the Doctor. I think it went really well. And, you know, friends of mine were there in the audience and they think it went really well, too.
Oh, that's cool. That is really, really cool. So, you know, I'm sure you're already ready for next year's because it is the 30th anniversary next year.
exactly, it's the 30th anniversary of Gallifrey 1, and I'm sure it's going to be a big one. I'm sure, we'll start, they're going to have tickets go on sale in April. And while they don't sell out instantly anymore, they do probably sell out within a few days. So if you're at all interested in going to Gallifrey 1, make sure you keep an eye on their website and their Facebook page. And I would definitely recommend going to Gallifrey 1 if you haven't before.
That is awesome. You know, that's kind of cool because, what was it, 3 years ago, Mary, you and I met actually at Gallifrey.
That's right. It was Fated.
It was Fated. Yes. You know, we got to go there, and it was a blast when I was there. I'm sure eventually I'll make it back for another one, and I'd like to take Mike along.
Oh, that would be awesome.
So, you know,
well, and yeah, Mike, I wound up meeting you and Judy there before I met you at Dragon Con.
That's right. We met you too, because it was like, because Kevin was like, you got to meet Felicity. You got to meet Felicity. Because I hadn't met you at Dragon Con yet at that point yet.
And yeah. When Kevin joined the network, I think I was not there that year when he really got to know you guys. So I saw that you were on that panel and made sure to go up and say, hey, I'm the mayor of Chicken Town.
And I went, cluck. And it was fate since, and it was great. And you guys have been a great addition to the network, and you know, we love having you, and love having you on to talk about Doctor Who and such too.
Oh, thank you so much. I really tried to be a Flopcast ambassador this year at Gallifrey. Even though I wasn't wearing my rubber chicken costume, I handed out a lot of Flopcast cards and just told people about the Flopcast and about the ESO network. I wore an ESO network shirt on Saturday with a kind of the word cloud of all the podcasts, because the Flopcast is very prominent on that, of course. You gave us a nice spot.
Well, we did that purposely, you know.
Of course.
You know. You got the ones who paid me the most got, you know, the higher up in this t-shirt.
Ooh, I might have to talk to Kevin about that. I didn't know that money was involved.
Oh, it wasn't necessarily money.
I didn't say money. Come on.
True. All right.
Let's leave it at there. Yes. He paid me with feathers. What do you mean? Come on. He gave me air supply tickets, you know. Hey.
Hey, you know, more power to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Anyway, before we go down that path, so yes, it sounds like it was a great show for you. Did you guys give out ribbons this year?
Yeah, I gave out the Stop Texting, Start Turksting ribbons. People were a little bit puzzled by those, and I gave out more cards than ribbons, but yeah, ribbons are huge at Gallifrey 1. I think that convention takes it more seriously than any others that I've been to, and I got some great ones this year. I actually, in the past, I haven't really gone, you know, whole hog on the ribbons, but it's, as a friend pointed out to me this year, it's really just a great icebreaker. You know, someone hands you a ribbon and, you know, you want to ask them about the quote on it or say, hey, that's my favorite story too. And then it's just a great way to start conversation with people.
Exactly. You know, when we were there a couple of years ago, we gave out over 500 ribbons just like that. And they were gone real quick. And, you know, my ribbon off of my badge, I think, was something like 13, 14 feet long.
Yeah, you can very quickly amass a trail of ribbons that's as long as the Fourth Doctor's scarf.
Oh, people do. And it almost becomes a quest. You got a ribbon? I got one too. Let's trade, you know, that type of thing. Or, you know, hey, listen to my podcast. Here's a ribbon. Boom.
Yep.
So,
that's just part of the fun.
One of the unique things about that con. And it is a great, great time. So I'm glad you had a great time, and thank you for joining us. So you have another Doctor Who Con you're going to in, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah, it's at the end of March, March 23rd. I am going to Regeneration Who in Baltimore. And this wasn't even really on my radar. I know some local DC area friends who were going, but they went and announced that Peter Capaldi is going to be there. So I said, it's a cheap flight to Baltimore. And if I can get a roommate, I'll go for it. And then it turns out a friend of a friend needed someone to share a room. So I'm all set.
That is awesome. We know the people who are putting it on, and they are putting on a fantastic show this year, folks. Check it out. And, you know, I know the geek girl herself, Angela Pritchett's going to be there also. So ESO will definitely be represented.
Yeah, I'll definitely look for her.
I'll just look for someone with a ukulele. Definitely should find. So definitely,
she awesome. And I have a love. She and I have a love of pugs in common.
There you go. Wow, love at first pug. It's awesome. That is awesome. Well, thank you, Felicity.
You're welcome.
All right. We also have some other Doctor Who news. Right after our last episode, literally the day after this came out, our episode came out, they came out with some Doctor Who news. They had released more stills of Jodie as the Doctor in costume, also with her new companions, and also posing with the TARDIS. So I assume now, you know, that spoiler's out there. You know, she finds the TARDIS, folks. And then also you got the new Doctor Who logo. And, you know, all of us are fairly artsy in our own way. What do you guys think of the new logo?
It's fine. You know, it was not overwhelming, but it's not bad. It serves its purpose.
I really like it. It just kind of, you know, struck me immediately that it's pretty cool. And it, for some reason, it feels kind of wrinkly and tiny to me. Maybe that's because, you know, I've been seeing so much advertisement for the film coming out, but I really was impressed.
Cool. Yeah, it kind of reminded me of Gallifreyan writing. Mm-hmm. I think they were trying to use similar shapes and lines, and I mean, it's cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems to me that a lot of fonts these days seem to be very simplistic, and this seems to be less stylized, a little bit more simplistic. I must admit, I had to be pointed out to me that the last two letters form the Venus symbol. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I didn't notice that right away either.
Yeah. So I thought that was okay. It's not obvious enough. let's put it in the logo. So I thought that was interesting. And, you know, the video of it, you know, the sort of teaser that they released, you know, kind of sort of quote unquote explains that the dashes, you know, the beginning and the end are the TARDIS flying through, which I thought was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is I sort of feel like this is a sort of teaser for the new beginning, like the new credit sequence. And I thought, well, if that's true, then that's kind of interesting as well, because it's, I mean, we've always had a sort of front end going through a tunnel view in space of the credits. And now this is sort of a linear, like let's see the TARDIS flying around, as opposed to let's fly with the TARDIS. Does that make sense?
Well, sure. Because I think mostly since the new series came on, you actually got to see the TARDIS going through the time vortex. Like when you had Tom Baker's era, it was just the time vortex itself.
Yeah. I mean, they're really, really making it a point to like, be like, we're changing everything. Like they're like, the marketing campaign is pretty amazing. You know, except the, you know, of course the TARDIS is true. And I do like the image, the silhouette of her in the boots and the coat, with the TARDIS in the background. I think that looks really cool. I like, there's nothing I don't like. It's just, I find it interesting.
One of the best parodies of that I saw was Duck Turhu. And it was awesome. You know, it had the silhouette, but she had a bill and had the waddled feet because the boots.
Yeah. I've also seen that there's like a, you know, they instantly came up with one of those, you know, logo generators online. So I've seen other people, you know, do their name in the style of the new logo.
Oh, Earth Station Who is coming soon. I was wondering how they did that, because I was like, what font is it? Could I put it into Photoshop?
Yeah. Just touching back on Jodie's costume for a minute, I forgot to bring up during the Gallifrey recap is that, you know, there were obviously a lot of cosplayers who were rocking the costume, and one of my favorites was this tiny little girl whose name is Piper. She was named after Billy Piper, and just her the photos that her mom posted just went viral on Twitter, and I now have it as my iPhone lock screen because it's so awesome.
No, totally. I'm glad. I'm hoping to see a lot of that also at Dragon Con and Hulanta this year, and then also
I think we definitely will.
I definitely think we definitely will. It's just pretty darn awesome. And, you know, I hope she's a great role model. We talked a ton about the Me Too movement yesterday on Earth Station One, and Jodi as the Doctor can be such a great ambassador and empowerment for women, kind of like how Wonder Woman was.
Yeah, it's great to see that, you know, the Wonder Woman really take hold, and then this can kind of continue pushing the trend forward of, you know, just more women at the helm and more women creators. One of the things I learned at Gallifrey is that there will be a 13th Doctor title coming from Titan Comics, and the team on that is all women.
Really? Oh, yep. Fantastic.
Wow.
That is really positive. I think that's pretty darn awesome. Did they say any other Doctor Who news come out of Gallifrey?
That's the only thing I can really think of. You know, obviously, you know, no one from the new production team was there, and nothing really that they would have been able to share with us anyway. But yeah, in terms of news, I didn't really pick up on anything else.
Okay. I didn't know if Steven was like, hey, come here, let me tell you some stuff, guys.
he may have told some people something in the bar that I didn't catch, but nothing that made its way to me.
If I was Steven, I'd be like, I don't know anything. I tapped out. I'm done. Like,
yeah. You know, I actually think that's pretty much his attitude. He's looking forward to going back to being a fan.
Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty awesome. Maybe eventually he'll get back up on Twitter again.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for leaving.
I was going to say, no. If I were him, I'd be like, nope.
Nope, not going there. Uh-uh. So that's all the big news that is going on. The only other big news was that they just announced the release dates of the David Bradley, who Felicity had just seen, of his Big Finish audios as the First Doctor. And they actually used the companions and, of course, his granddaughter from the Adventures in Space and Time as the First Doctor's crew. And all brand new stories.
Yeah, that's impressive. You know, Big Finish is always just kind of doing surprising things. I loved it when they had John Hurt, you know, as the War Doctor. You know, like I said, I'm not super into Big Finish, but I did buy those, and I thought those were pretty good. And then they had one with Derek Jacobi as the War Master.
Mm-hmm. So exactly. So I'm going to definitely recommend that before maybe the new season starts, maybe we'll review that First Doctor adventure if you guys are up to it.
Oh yeah, that would be awesome.
Sure, we got some time.
Okay.
Yeah, we got plenty of time.
As long as we're you know, anything to avoid doing Trial of the Time Lord.
Well, we still have 4 weeks, Mike. We actually have the final Sylvester McCoy story, so we'll have to see what you think of that. Hopefully, it'll not be another Ghost Light for you.
Yes.
Ghost Believe Light. It or not, Ghost Light is actually, I would say the Seventh Doctor story I dislike the least.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't say I love it, but I'm not a fan of the era. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. Definitely understand that. All right, Mikey.
It's one of the most divisive stories, at least. People either like it or really hate it.
Yeah.
That's true.
It was ambitious. Well, maybe exactly. Too ambitious.
Because, yeah, we'll be looking at survival in a few weeks. So it should be very interesting. All right, Mikey, what else do you got for us?
Well, I think this came out after we recorded too. And forgive me if I've already mentioned it. And also forgive me too, because this is potential spoilers into the new season. And normally I don't pay any mind, and I'm the last to know these things. So if this is old news, forgive me. But apparently we are going to see a familiar tin dog this season as well.
Oh, K-9?
That's yes.
There are pictures of on location of Jodi with K-9.
Oh, that's awesome. I have not seen that. So that is actually, that's news to me. That's awesome.
News to me too. That's pretty cool.
Which version of, is it the Australian version they did where he's all modern looking, or is it a traditional looking?
No, this is traditional.
It's
oh God.
Yeah, this is pretty traditional. Yeah. If you just, you know, Google, Jodi K-9, you'll see, pictures. I'll see if I can, I haven't. Yeah. I'm surprised that, I'm like the last one. I was like, is this real? You know, because usually our, our Facebook group, ESW, is pretty active and pretty on top of things. So I'm surprised I didn't see it there. But yeah, it's she's with him on location outside. So yeah, now whether it's an actual episode, whether there was some promotional stuff done, I don't know. That I can't speak to.
Oh, there it is. I found it. Very awesome stuff. Yep, K9 in all its glory. Thank God it's not the Australian one. Yeah. And no offense to our Australian listeners.
So last year at Gallifrey, the guy who built K9 was there with the actual K9 prop, and I was amazed to find out that every time K9 has appeared on Doctor Who, including in the new series and in the Sarah Jane Adventures, it's been the same dog.
Really?
It's been the same all the way through, just a few modifications, but the bones have been the same.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, because that one series, K9 Company, it was he looked very different. So, I thought they upgraded him there, but most of the time that I've seen him in Classic and in New Who, he looks pretty much, and in the Sarah Jane Adventures, he looks pretty similar. So, I don't know. At one point we should devote an episode to K9 because we just really haven't. And he's got a lot of different adventures out there. So it'd be kind of fun to get somebody on here and talk about our favorite K9 stories.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It could be that interesting.
Would be cool.
Yep. I definitely think so. As long as we don't talk about the Australian version, I think we'll be good.
Yeah. That looks really different.
Yeah. Let's not.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Let's not. And speaking of let's not, let's go take a break and, God, we'll go jump in with both feet and talk all about Time Lash.
Temporal anomaly detected on Earth 2017. Is it the Doctor? No, it is a human using the number 42. They have the ultimate answer. They are having civil discussions about television, film, comics, books, and video games. Where is the fan rage? This is a threat to the Daleks. We must exterminate them. Humans must be hostile to each other so that the Daleks may rule supreme. Exterminate! Exterminate! The 42 cast. Bad for Daleks, good for humanity.
Okay, kids, strap in. We're going back to March 9th, 1985, where we had the joy of watching two 45-minute episodes of The Sixth Doctor in Time Lash, where he's joined by his companion Perry, and they actually had to wear seatbelts on the TARDIS. That's right. And that was the high point of it.
Yeah, this may well have been the longest 90 minutes of my life. I mean, it was rough.
While Mary was watching it, she kept on writing me, said, "Damn you."
I will never forgive you.
She kept on saying, "Why did you make me watch this?" And then she said, "You know, rum and coke is really good to help with this."
Yeah, I was regretting that I'm still on some medication for my cough and couldn't use alcohol.
So is this everybody's first time seeing this? Because it was mine.
Oh no, I'd seen it back in the day. It may be one that I'd only watched once, although I tried to watch every classic series episode at least twice, so it's possible I put myself through it again.
See, that's it. It's the reason that I ask is it surprises me that anybody would watch this more than once.
Without a gun to your head. Yes.
It's what we do for the show, Mike. It's what we do for the show.
We are noble.
You know, after I watch any story, you know, I try to think of, you know, positive, negative, et cetera, et cetera. So, and sort of balance it out in my head. And I must admit, one of the positives of that I came up with in this is that I did like that they referenced the Third Doctor, that they referenced, you know, and at the time when I was watching it, I was like, oh, this is like a continuation of a Third Doctor story. I'm like, that's cool. I'm like, I wonder if, because we've seen a lot of Third Doctor. We've reviewed a lot of Third Doctor stories on this podcast. And I'm like, I don't remember this one, though. So I'm going to have to look it up. And then looking up, I find out it's not actually, was not actually a Third Doctor story. They reference the Third Doctor and that the Third Doctor and Joe's been there, but it's not actually a continuation of anything they filmed before. And then I got mad.
Then you got mad. Then you got mad.
Yeah, it's just well, one of those. They punked me. I was like, I need to. I bet the Third Doctor story on this planet is probably much better. But I'd like to see it. But then, no, I can't do it.
Yeah. Yep, it was an off-screen adventure. But honestly, that's my highlight of the episode too. I really like when when the laser blasts the wall and you see the mural of the Third Doctor behind it. That's a cool moment.
Yes, yes.
It's actually kind of a nice painting, the Third Doctor.
The other thing about this is that it just so happens that, okay, this is going to take a minute, so forgive me. But so it just so happens that I'm reading or rereading the Christopher Priest run on Black Panther, right? So, and this was a series, a comic series that came out in the 90s. And one of the first times I run into a cross-wide Marvel company-wide event is an event called Maximum Security. Mike, do you remember this event?
Yes.
Okay, so Maximum Security, the premise of Maximum Security, and it was a company-wide Marvel comic event in the 90s, is that the Marvel Universe had decided that Earth was a pesky little planet, so they decided that they were going to make it a penal colony for other criminal aliens. And the premise was the actual story was pretty bad, but I thought the premise was good. And when Time Lash first starts, I think, oh, they're using that premise. Maybe this will be cool, but it's not. I do like because they never like. It's weird. They literally open the door to this idea that they're sending. You know, in this case, they're not criminals. They're just people who don't agree with the regime. But they're sending people to Earth in the past, and we do follow one of them, and we bring her back. But the rest of the people are I assume, still on Earth, and it's just they never follow up on that.
Mm-hmm. They're somewhere in the 12th century, and, you know, wherever, but somehow because she was holding the medallion, she ended up in the 1800s or something like that.
Yeah, because that made sense.
Yeah, of course.
Well, she was deflected. When she went through the TARDIS, she got deflected. That makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
Look, if that's the thing, like, as far as, like, nitpicks.
Like, right.
Yeah, that's way down on my list of critiques on this episode.
I mean, I was, well, during all of that, I was too busy trying to figure out if her face even moved. Because I think she was perhaps the worst actress. That I've ever seen on Doctor Who.
Oh, did you
see? Bad. Yeah.
Did you see at the end when they were going to explode the Time Lash and she was just standing there and she was just like,
the guy has to go get her.
Yes.
It's actually Colin grabbed her and goes, come on, come on, come on.
It's like, move.
It was like,
as a huge H.G. Wells fan, we did an episode a long time ago on ESO devoted to H.G. Wells, and I just am in awe of that man. This is one of the worst depictions of him I've ever seen.
No kidding.
And I've seen him like portrayed as, you know, like in other ways that I didn't appreciate either. But this is it's horrible. You know, he just is so. Yeah, I just wanted him not to be H.G. Wells. And at the end when they're like, wah, wah, and I'm like, yeah, we know this is pretty obvious.
Yeah, I couldn't possibly be more obvious. They telegraphed that twist from like the first 5 minutes. Come on. Mm-hmm. This whole story is just the biggest mess, just this mishmash of stuff. I'm not even sure I'd call it a story. It's just like all these different scenes that every time they break to another one, that it's terrible.
I've seen senior high school plays with better scenery and effects. And oh, that damn blizzard or whatever it was.
Oh my god!
This is directed so poorly because I'm watching this and I'm thinking, okay, this this was made around the same time as there's some really, really good like British programming and other programming that is made around this time. With quality directors. I mean, I'm a big fan of the Jeremy Brett Sherlock Holmes series, and that was also made around this same time. So you put that in perspective, it's like not everything that was made in the 80s was crap, right?
Right.
But you would think so if you watched this. And you would think, oh, well, they had a cheap budget. There's no way they could have made that monster, like, you know, intimidating or whatever. But yes, they could have. But the director has, you could tell the director has no idea what to do with this material and how to make it interesting and how to make the monster menacing. Because we've seen lame monsters before, but they didn't look this bad.
Yeah, he's not even trying.
Yeah, they weren't this well lit. Like, that's the first key. Like, don't, if you have a bad monster prop or costume, don't light it well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're like the bandrels, it looks like a reject from the Muppets.
It is a puppet, and it's ridiculous. I actually have an old friend from Doctor Who fandom who, 1 year at Convergence, had an actual, you know, he made a bandrel puppet and he was going around with it that weekend and gave out ribbons related to it. But yeah, that's so awesome. So laughable.
Yeah,
yeah.
The voice. I mean, it sounds like an actor who failed the audition for Alpha Centauri. It is just bad.
Oh, yeah. You want to talk about voices? Voices of the android, this big bulky thing with shoulder pads galore.
Yes.
Oh, it was
awful. And it takes a lot to be the most annoying voice in the story when you've got Perry in the episode.
Yeah.
Perry, unfortunately,
is my least favorite companion. And I'm sure Nicola Bryant is a lovely woman. I've seen her at cons and she's really sweet, but
yes,
they should not have hired her to play an American.
No, they should not have. And I'm with you. I mean, I do not, she's not my least favorite. I think that still goes to Mel. But Perry's not far ahead of her.
Yeah, I'd say they're probably neck and neck for me as well.
And she's just awful. And I do, you know, look, I have sympathies for Nicola because not only is she like trying, but she's given this material and the scenes where she's being quote unquote attacked by the monster. I mean, she's just got to stand there and scream and look stupid. Like, absolutely stupid. And, you know, again, that's a shame on the director for making the actors look that bad. That's not the director's job.
Yeah. And I'd say the violence against Perry was really unpleasant in this episode. You know, she's being dragged around by her neck.
There's some weird S&M stuff going on there.
Right.
So that was like, exactly.
And the way she's being leered at by everybody.
Yeah, we have yet another villain who wants to mate with Perry.
Yes.
Except this time he wants to turn her into a Morlock first.
Well, exactly. And the funny thing about it, though, was, you know, the whole S&M thing. It's like, yeah, they had her in a collar. Why couldn't they just use that ball gag?
Oh,
you know, just to keep her quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine.
She may have enjoyed that because having to say that dialogue must have been torture.
Yeah, one of the worst scenes is where she's like, she and the doctor's about to go off and do something heroic and sacrifice himself, and she's like, "I'm concerned." I didn't believe that for a second.
Yeah, right.
I mean, the dialogue isn't great either, so it's not all her fault.
No, but
they have that big sacrificial moment, and you know, at the end he's there, which we all knew he would be, but they don't even try to explain it. They're just like, "Oh, I'll just tell you some other time," or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, that's not how writing works.
Exactly. They weren't even trying. They weren't even trying, and that was when I just wanted to throw something at the television.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. They could have taken a couple of minutes from, you know, Herbert's scenes or Perry and the Doctor bickering in the TARDIS and given us an explanation. Obviously, the author couldn't think of one either.
Right. I mean, if you need a shining example of how not to write a script, this is it. You know, every new writer, watch this and then do the opposite.
Well, if you think about it, though, this is classic Doctor Who. They don't explain it. You know, even Stephen Moffat made fun of it in Curse of Fatal Death. Oh, don't worry about it. I'll explain it to you later.
That's funny because I actually just rewatched Curse of Fatal Death over the weekend. I was visiting my parents and we were talking about the con, and it turned out my mom hadn't ever seen it, and so I was like, "Well, this is the first thing Stephen Moffat did for Doctor Who, and it really kind of, you know, as silly as it is, it really kind of is a mission statement for him on how he feels about Doctor Who."
Mm-hmm. And it's perfect, and that exactly was played up in this episode. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, oh, we'll talk about it later. It's like, oh, great.
I'll tell you someday, I think, is what the doctor says.
Exactly. It's just like, oh, yeah, great. You know, it's just like there was just so many stupid things. And it's like, oh, I have a feeling Herbert's going to make it back to Earth. What do you mean, doctor? And they look down at the card and it's like, yeah, we had to be spelled out that one.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, and the relationship between Doctor and Perry is just nauseating to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just cringe.
Because I'm sorry.
The doctor is just endlessly smug. He's nasty to everybody, but especially to Perry.
This is really their relationship at its worst. And yes. You know, one good thing I can say about Trial of a Time Lord is they try to walk that back a little bit and have them getting along. And then, of course, horrible things happen to Perry.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, during that banter at the beginning, when she's, you know, when they're going back and forth and the doctor's like, well, I'll just take you back to Earth then. And she's like, no, no, no. And I'm like, really? Because I don't know why you're staying with him.
Exactly.
Right.
He tried to choke you. Like, and it hasn't gotten any better from there.
Nope.
No.
I did notice when I was doing my research, and I guess there's a story that Darrow, Paul Darrow, who played, you know, who hammed it up as the big bad guy, well, not really, but one of the bad guys at the end, was unhappy with his performance, and John Nathan Turner was like, no, you were fine. The script wasn't that good, and you made something of it. Like, even John, look, if John Nathan Turner says the script is crap, then it's really bad.
yeah, he was. I mean, right. Yeah, it's a little bit. It's kind of fun to watch Paul Darrow, but this is obviously not his best work.
No, I mean, he does put some life into it. I mean, everybody else kind of plods along and it's just kind of there. I did like, so he is pretty cool as, you know, well, actually, I thought the old man, the face of the Borad, the one that everybody saw, I kind of dug him because he was very understated. And you don't usually see a bad guy who's a villain who's understated. So I did like him. He had this sort of good feel. But then when it was revealed that he wasn't the real guy, I was like, oh, well, who cares?
Yeah, he was just some guy with wires coming out of the back of his head. He was a Muppet also. Wow.
And I did laugh every time the Borad zapped somebody. And then the skeleton just went plunk on the ground. Like, it just...
I
did think that was kind of funny.
Never trust anybody, doctor. It's like, oh, God. Talk about used car salesman.
Yeah. It was funny to see Paul Darrow just, like, transparently betray everybody in the story until he gets betrayed himself.
Of course. And it was interesting. Oh, and don't get me started on the time lash. It looked like it had stuff that goes around the. It's had stuff that goes around Christmas trees, like the tinsel or something.
The effects in this story were just amazingly bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like they decided that they would not try with any part of the production at all.
It was ridiculous to have the doctor spend so much time in the time lash, just really highlighting how horrible it was.
Well, exactly. It's like, wait a minute. All these other people just fall in, but the doctor, he can go in with a rope and climb down the hill of it. Did the people just miss the hill and they just fell into eternity or something?
Well, no. I mean, I will defend it in this case because he did change the settings and on the console before he went in, is because he said he was going to grab some crystals. So he went in there to do that. And so I imagine that was the machine, not like it wasn't working at that point. Like, this was the machine at its raw form. So, I there's a lot of plot holes in here, but I'm like, that I'll say that when it made some sense to me.
But it did, you know, makes total sense for him to send him all the way back to Loch Ness at the very end. That it all meant it was all of a sudden was working all of a sudden again.
Well, that's the stupid thing. It's like, not only do we get an H.G. Wells like reference here, but then it's like, oh, well, this creature is the Loch Ness Monster. I'm like, oh, don't ruin the Loch Ness Monster for me.
Right. Well, it contradicts Terror of the Zygons. But then again, we got three explanations for Atlantis's destruction on Doctor Who as well.
Yeah, it's pretty annoying when a show can't keep track of its own continuity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they didn't care about anything else in the story, so I'm not surprised they didn't care about that.
Yeah.
especially for an episode that basically says it's following up the adventure of the Third Doctor. Like, not only did they say he's been to this planet before, but the villain is a guy that he encountered in his adventure.
Yeah.
And it's like, so you're thinking, oh, he's the Doctor's met him before. This is going to be a really cool... But it actually didn't happen before. And I'm like, ah, that's annoying. Up with, like, I don't know. I can't believe that Big Finish or somebody has, or maybe everybody's just like, no, just ignore it and pretend this never happened.
Yeah, I think it's better to just, deny.
I wonder how much more we could tear this thing apart.
I think we pretty much covered it all.
Yeah. I know. From robots with purple faces and blonde hair.
And lovely sing-song voices.
Oh, God. You know, Frankie Valli was real jealous of that voice, you know? all right, let's go ahead and rate this 1 out of 5 TARDISes. I don't know if we could go below 1. So let's stick with 1 to 5 TARDISes. Mary, you get to go first.
I'm giving it a negative 500. Wow. Oh, you know what? After watching this episode, I want to go watch the Ronnie again.
Wow.
How bad it was.
Well, yeah.
I actually at least liked the Ronnie as a character.
Yeah. I watched Mark of the Ronnie just today, and that one doesn't hold up that well either, but it's obviously it's you know, head and shoulders above this one.
Miles above this one. The only positive thing I can say about this one is the makeup on the Borat at the end wasn't too bad. that's about it, because it in every other way it just stinks. It is really one of the worst episodes I have ever seen. So what I will say is, everybody go listen to Big Finish, because Colin is awesome in Big Finish, and I'm sorry that he wasn't served well during his era with this just truly putrid writing. But go check out Big Finish, because he is great there. He really he can be a wonderful doctor, but not in this.
You're here.
Okay. Wow. All right. Felicity.
If 1 is the lowest that I can go, then it's gotta get 1.
Okay. And
this is definitely one of the all time worst.
Okay. Wow. All right, Mike.
I am finding it very difficult to justify giving this more than a 1. So I am going to agree. I it's right down there with the worst that we've seen. Like, I put it right there with Ghostlight. Ghostlight makes me angry in a different way. This one, it seems like they weren't even trying. They just, and they made me mad by referencing a story that didn't exist. They got my hopes up for a story that doesn't exist.
Wow.
So shame on them for that.
Okay, well, at least I'm very happy to say we're not all agreeing on the numbers. Wow, this is up to me now. I always say never below a 3.
Huh.
But
3 is average, right?
3,
it's 1 to 5.
Yeah. And bad Doctor Who is still better than a lot of other shows, except for this one. I'm going to jump in on the 1 bandwagon also.
Yeah.
You know, actually,
Welcome to the club.
I'm making it a 1.5.
You know, okay.
You know why I'm making it a 1.5? because there are only two episodes of this thing. You know, I love Doctor Who.
Two long episodes.
45 minutes each. And
yeah, they only felt like 3 hours.
That was two episodes too many.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I really felt bad for the actors. I really felt bad for, you know. And it was interesting. I don't know if it was me, but did Colin's hair look more specifically blonde in this than normal? It's like, because I know he had brownish hair when he first started. And
the time corridor tends to bleach out your hair.
Exactly. Well, it was mid-80s, so, you know, it could explain a lot. So, so we want to hear from you at home. Please let us know what your guys' thoughts are. Did we torture it? Or did we, were we too hard on this? Or
well,
were
it tortured
we not,
us.
That's a good point. So please write us eswpodcast@gmail.com or call us at 404-963-9057. Of course, the show is brought to you by our new Patreon site. That's right, folks. The ESO Network has a Patreon site, and Earth Station Who is very proud to be part of this. You know, we've talked about it. I think we talked about it on our other shows. I think we touched on it real briefly last time. So if you want to find out more about our Patreon, the different levels and such, and how you can help support the station, all you have to do is go to www.patreon.com/ESO Network. Doesn't get much easier than that, folks. And also, don't forget, we also do have the Amazon link and the TeePublic store right on our website. All you have to do is go to esonetwork.com, right on the top there, right next to shows. It has our Patreon link, it has our Amazon link, and it has our TeePublic link. And we have new t-shirts going up all the time. Felicity mentioned earlier that she got an ESO Network t-shirt right there from our TeePublic store. Thank you, thank you. And so it's just pretty darn awesome that, you know, you could help support the station. And that's how we keep this fine programming of Doctor Who going. So, God, I almost sound like PBS right there at pledge time. So we definitely want to, you know, going to be coming back again and hopefully not talking about the Sixth Doctor for quite some time. And when we do, we'll probably be going into the big finish stories, because I think other than Trial of a Time Lord, I think we're wrapped up with all the Sixth Doctor stories. So knock on wood, we don't have to talk about Trial of the Time Lord for quite some
time. That is a silver lining.
See, it is a plus. Let me thank our crew for being here tonight. Mary, thank you so much for being here with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
It was an experience.
Next time we hear from you, you're going to be time traveled on us. You're going to be in a different time zone.
That's right.
Wow. In the meantime, how can people find your artwork?
They can find me on maryogle.com, or they can visit my Etsy store under eVision Arts.
Excellent. And Felicity, thank you so much for sitting in with us tonight.
You're welcome. It was pretty fun.
You want to plug the Flopcast real quick?
Yes, you can go to flopcast.net to see show notes for all of our episodes. I am the mayor of Chickentown, and I maintain that website, and I also tweet at Flopcast. You can find us facebook.com/flopcast. That's probably the best place to get in touch with us. And we're even on Instagram at @_flopcast.
Excellent. Wow, that's pretty awesome. And of course, last but not least, Mr. Mike.
As always, it's my pleasure. Even when we're talking about bad Doctor Who, it's still fun to talk to you guys.
Aw, so sweet.
Aw.
Wow, at least he hasn't thrown us into the time lash yet. you know, maybe that's where they got the idea for the Weeping Angels. Send them back in time. Yeah, no. I don't think no.
Probably
no,
not.
No.
Don't think so.
Nope. But we will be back again in 2 weeks, and we are going to back to the Tom Baker era. The brothers Herman are joining us for their pick for their Doctor Who story, and they are going to be doing Robots of Death, which Woo-hoo! Is a Doctor and Leela story. So it's
That's an all-time classic.
Leela.
Yeah, so it's going to be a great one, and I'm looking forward to it. It's been years since I've seen that one, so definitely looking forward to it, and we are very much looking forward to seeing everyone you know, coming up at all the different cons we're going to be at. Felicity's going to be in Baltimore in a couple weeks. And then a few weeks after that, we are going to be at Wholanta. So Doctor Who stuff is all around. So definitely while the new show's not on, we'll entertain you. We're glad to do that and talk all things Doctor Who, good and bad. But until then, my name is Mike Faber. We'll see you next time here on the Earth Station Who podcast. Peace. And we're done.
You have been listening to Earth Station Who, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to all things Doctor Who, featuring talents from across the universe. All topics on the show are the sole opinions of the individual and are used for entertainment value alone. You can subscribe to our podcast up on iTunes, Stitcher, or follow our blog at www.esopodcast.com. You can also follow us up on Facebook, Twitter, or Google+. If you enjoyed the show, please leave feedback up on iTunes.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network, your station for all things geek, classic, current, and beyond. Be part of the crew at esonetwork.com.